A lot of empty chairs. I think a lot have gone up to go to the mission field or something. A lot of empty chairs. It's good to be back with y'all. I don't know how to give a formal talk, so y'all bear with me. But I do tonight, my plan is not to bring a message per se, but just to kind of give you a little bit of what's been happening with me and my family in Morelia. And I'll probably touch on a few verses in a little while. First of all, I do want to say it's good to be here, and it's been a refreshment. I need more of this. As many of y'all know, we're down there as a family by ourselves. But the Lord has been faithful in Morelia to us in many ways. He's provided in many ways. And when we think, a lot of times when we say the word provision, we think of materialism, I think, more than the spiritual. Ever since I just get out there and start preaching in the parks or in the colonias, he would provide hearers, people would come out to hear. Now there'd be times when there wouldn't be hearers or listeners, and not just that. For our second meeting, he provided a visitor, and we had a visitor. His name was Reuben. He was a man that was reading a book on San Juan Bosco, or I guess you would interpret it, St. John Bosco. And I don't know who he is. I think it's a made-up saint. But anyway, he was a priest. Okay. We'll talk about that later on. Anyway, but he wasn't reading the Bible. He was reading this book, and so I approached him and talked with him. Anyway, he came to the second meeting that we had there. And then after that, well, he was hit and miss, and so many times it was just me and my family there. But after that, the Lord provided another person. His name was Luis, or is Luis. Luis heard me preaching in La Plaza. I forget the name of the plaza, but he heard me preaching there, and he came with full energy and everything, and my wife was with me that day, and so she was able to talk to him a little bit while I was preaching. Then he came and talked to me later. Anyway, turns out we started to get together with Luis. His name is Luis Guerrero. And turns out he invites his wife. But anyway, to make a long story short, they both come to know the Lord Jesus. And we end up giving them studies. And they had passed through the Pentecostalism, and they passed through some bad doctrine. But they were real acceptant to the sound doctrine. And anyway, so they were real faithful and have been faithful. And matter of fact, they invited a person, a real tall young lady. Her name is Sandra. And later on, well, a little while later, she got saved. And matter of fact, it was Louise Gandy and Sandra were the first that got baptized, our first baptism. Well, anyway, after that, like I say, the Lord's provided. He just, you know, even with Luis, he provided a help for me in a sense where I had somebody to teach. I had somebody to say I was here for a reason. I wasn't spinning my wheels. I was doing something, and it made me feel good because of that. And then Luis would even encourage me. I mean, he encouraged me to go out preaching. God be blessed. The Lord Jesus be blessed. But he was a great encouragement to take me out preaching, you know. And can you show me another study? And, you know, and so forth, so on. He was and has been a real blessing. After that, I would say it was Lorenzo. Lorenzo came through. He's a young man in his 20s. And he lives, he studies in Morelia, but he lives in Alta Mirano, which is in the state of Guerrero. And turns out where this Lorenzo, this young man, he came through the campaign that we had there. It was Brother Billy and Brother John and Brother Adrian and other missionaries. I don't remember them all, but many brethren from other churches in Mexico, they came, they stayed a whole week in my house and so forth. And turns out that through the preaching in town one day, Lorenzo, was a product of that campaign. And so the Lord provided these brethren, these missionaries and these brethren from Mexico to come help the work. All of this it's just been an encouragement. It's been a great strength for me. And I was just appalled or lauded over what the Lord has done really in my life. And apart from that, my wife has been a great help. I won't lie to you. Recently, she's gotten a little lax in the area. She likes to be more at home these days, but I don't blame her. She's a housewife. Told you I'd tell off on you. No. She's been a real blessing, but she has found that she has a groove too. She's been getting out and reaching some of the women and stuff. I guess she got tired of my preaching out there and stuff. I don't know what it is. But she still comes out sometimes. And my boys too. That's another thing. My two boys, Noah and Nehemiah, they have not preached in the streets like I can get out there and preach and some of these other brethren, but they have preached in the meetings. And they've been a real encouragement. They, as a matter of fact, they brought some word that, I needed. It got me, blessed me and got me straight. So the Lord has provided even through the babes, that the children, they've been a real blessing. But getting back to Lorenzo, he's a young man that, well, pray for all these people I mentioned, really. But Lorenzo, he's a young man, and he has got the sound doctrine down. I mean, I compare my spiritual life with him and where he's at in a year, and it took me 3 years to get to where he's at in 1 year. I mean, I might feel ashamed in one sense, but then I'm blessed in another that this young man has really gotten the gospel and really gotten it, and he preaches and he encourages and he gets up in the meetings and he teaches, and just like Luis. And then there's Poncho. He's a ranchero type from another place right outside of Morelia. The majority that go to the church there in Morelia are not even from Morelia. So I'm going to all the world, brother. I mean, only I think a couple of them are from Morelia. But this Poncho, he's a ranchero guy, and he's not all sharp in the area of the doctrine yet. He gets up and he leans into the faith with works, and so that's provided for me to encourage me how to correct a church. Now, I might have come hard sometimes, and I'm trying to be a little more soft, but he says some things that really get off, and you really got to straighten it out. So, it's like, bring that crooked thing back and get it straight. I'm not sure if Poncho's saved or not. He says he is and whatever. And I've dealt with him, and he's kind of one that goes along with everything you say, And so pray, Lord, give me wisdom in that area. But, then you got some others. I can't recall the other few, but then there was at the end, right before we came, there was a family. It was Tomas, a man that's, I think he's about my age. He looks a little older, a little more, mature. But anyway, he's married and he has 13 children. And so there's the church grew, if you want to boast on numbers, right? No, but he's a man, I believe he's saved, but I'm not sure about his wife or his kids. But we so happened to leave right after their second or third meeting that they came to. And so we had to leave, so I don't know if they're still around or not, but hopefully we'll visit them on the way back, if they're not, even if they are. But anyway, the church, I do want to say something else. To know that our labor is not in vain, Brother Dale and Nelda, I guess they know already, but a brother from their church in San Luis, Nathanael, he has about as many years I got in the Lord, and this brother is real mature and real good in his doctrine and whatever. Anyway, he's working in Morelia, and he looked me up when he came, and we've just been blessing each other. He tells me, you don't know what this is to be here, and you're a blessing. I say, wait a minute, hold it. You are a blessing to me. I want you to know that. And Nathanael has been a blessing. He's an elder, I believe, at the church in Selene, in San Luis, but the Lord has provided through him too. But I'm seeing the Lord has been with me, and he's provided and he's blessed me, and he's also provided troubles. There's been troubles come through there, and I guess some of y'all know through the letter that I've written that there's a group now that meets there in the park where we meet on Thursdays. It's a Catholic charismatic group, and they have their big flag of the Virgin Mary, and they come with loudspeakers, and when it starts to rain, they hoop and holler like God send them rain or whatever. But anyway, they're a hard group. But anyways, they're there, and it's made our meetings a little difficult to really concentrate on what we're doing because of their music in the background. So we've had to move sometimes to another area or whatever. But anyway, besides that, there's been other troubles, but I won't get into them all. But y'all just lift us up in prayer there, I don't want to stay by myself forever. I want y'all to know that I hope to one day have a fellow laborer in the Lord, and the labor, the harvest is great, and the labors are few. And I remember one person told me that because I tried to find out something that was in the church and that I heard, and then I was looking to see and check up on it a little bit, and the one person got upset and said that I was trying to break up his marriage because of this incident. I was trying to look into to see if it was true or not, and I don't know why he got so upset about it, but anyway, maybe it was true, being that I was, maybe there was something that he needed to clean up. But other than that, the situation. But anyway, there's been troubles, and y'all pray for me. Oh, I was saying this, that was like an arrow from the enemy to tell me that I'm not helping lives, I'm ruining lives, you know, because he said that I was destroying his marriage. But then that verse came to mind, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And that really encouraged me, stick with it, you know. You know, you've helped some people, and so, you know, we can't get shot down by words, but they do hurt sometimes. We are human. But anyway, we have helped some people, and their labors are few, so just keep plugging in. Let's look at John 15, a couple of verses. Many of y'all already know these verses, but the Lord wants something for us, and it's for all of us. John 15, and it's verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. You know, this is a promise that many of us known for a long time, I think. But you know, it's still true. I think hearing it often that we just kind of hear it and we just kind of accept it and say, yeah, that's true, and that's the way it should be. But you know, he's ordained us to bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. In other words, this is something that God has ordained us to do. And I was thinking about that thought, fruit. Look at Proverbs 11. We oftentimes want to brush it off on the fruits of the Spirit, which I believe pertains to that too. But Proverbs 11, well, here it's clear to me. It says Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. But think about that first part. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. It doesn't say the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. It says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. A tree and of life. In other words, brethren, you know, not all of us can go and be full-time. But you know what? You can still have a tree. And you can have a tree that's full of life. It doesn't have to be a big tree or one you can come and tell everybody, look, this is the fruit. But do you have a tree in your life? You know, I thought about that, and before the Lord allowed me by his grace to to serve him elsewhere. I used to battle with that thought, bringing fruit, you know, seeing, having that tree of life, you know. And as I would ask the Lord to guide me and to lead me and whatever, because I wanted to bear fruit. I wanted to, you know, not so much see it in a physical sense, but the spiritual, yes, but the spiritual in others' lives. Well, the Lord answered and opened a door. Opened the door of ministry. But you know what? The question, I guess, is for you, for each and every one of us is, have you asked the Lord, where is your tree of life? Where can you find your tree if you haven't? Maybe you have it right here. Maybe you have it right here or wherever you're from. I don't know. There's some here I know they have a tree of life. But if you're here and you have maybe a tree, but it doesn't have life on it, you need to examine. You know, where is your tree? Because remember, we read earlier, he ordained us to bring forth fruit. And here it says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. So that's what it's all about. And I think too, I'm noticing, I don't know why, but I see that maybe the group has become a little more shallow in these later conferences, these whatever. But brother, you know, you need to get out. You need to ask the Lord, Lord, give me my tree of life. And, think about that a little bit. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're not just to bring forth fruit, we're to build. We're to build. And it says, in 9, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry, you are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. As Paul saying, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. First of all, we got to make sure the foundation's right. We got to make sure that that our foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, is in your life personally, is Jesus your foundation? Is it Jesus or is it this group here? Is it Jesus or is it a pastor or pastors? Is it Jesus or is it your good works? Are you on Jesus? Are you saved? In other words, have you trusted the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ as your only means of salvation? First of all, it's that. But then after we have this settled in our lives, we're to build. We're to build. Yes, build in our lives. Build in our lives. Build the brethren up because you're building on the foundation. Also, it's to build with other lively stones. There's others that need to come to know this gospel of grace message. There's so much sham, so much falsehood out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need not to give up because of this, but to go on pushing forward to reach some of these people that are confused, and not just them that are confused, those that are just lost in their sins. We can't give up just because there's sham and there's business maybe and all this. We that know that we're on the foundation need to get busy with building, inviting people to the meetings. I think about that. We're to build. And you know, that's like me. I can't just be happy with that there's people meeting with us that we can say, look here or look there. No, now it's to build in their lives. Look at it, Exodus 18. But one thing the Lord has shown me, that you use an example of Moses here, it's not an easy thing. It's not something easy to build, and especially by yourself. I think any brethren that's worked by himself here can testify that. And you know what? I'm no Superman, and I ain't got no great talents, as y'all can see. But you know what? We are to take God's plan and put it to work. Moses' father-in-law, being a wise man, I take it as he gave him this counsel here to Moses, saying, hey man, you're going to wear yourself out trying to do that by yourself. Look at it, Exodus 18 and 13. Well, let's go to verse 12. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God, and Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law and before God. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from morning unto evening. And then it says in 14, and when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone? And all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening. And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another. And I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, that thing that thou doest is not good. In other words, he was telling them that he was going to wear himself out. Like he says in 18, thou will surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee. And that's the counsel I have, that I need to listen to this counsel. God's word has the plan. God uses men. And right here, we see how Moses is hearing from his father-in-law with some wisdom from the Lord. In other words, the plan here was in 18, let's read it. It says, thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, and that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people what's taken me. This is what's taken me, brethren, that I need to look for able men. You need to look for able men. As it's been said around here that before long we're gonna get old and we won't be able to do the things that we used to do. You know, and I'm not saying that I'm at a great age or nothing, but you know what? It won't be long. The time's coming. We need to start training others up. Like one brother said the other night, it was Michael, that, you know, we need to be replaced. And that's the same here. Y'all need to be replaced here. Y'all need to be replaced here. Y'all need to teach other men. Go after those men that came here. Go after them. Teach them. Don't give up on them. I know some of them, they're not pleasing to our sight. Some of them we give up on, and, you know, if the Lord don't bring them, you know, then, you know. Well, you know, the Lord might use you to go fish them out and look for them. You know, too often we say, well, this and that. We start thinking for them, you know. Or we don't like their appearance or something about them, or they didn't smell right, or, you know, things like that. Things like that come, you know. But you need to fish them out, because those men came in this door. The Lord brought them through here. And not just that, but others. And we need to look to be replaced. Able men. And that's that. And unless the Lord provides me a fellow laborer, and I hope he does. That's my prayer. But you know, I need to look for able men. But what? Men that fear God. There's a lot of wishy-washy out there. There's a lot of men that say they fear God, and then they take off their costume later. That happened to me in this year. And we need to look for men that fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. Make sure their motives are right. And then you place them over the others. It's a continual thing, brethren, because if not, we're going to wear out. We're going to wear away. Then it says, and just to drop down to 23, to finish up, it says, and if thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure. And all this people shall also go to their place in peace. You know, brethren, we're out to get a tree of life. We're out to give people what we got, that peace we got, that peace that we got, that we are forgiven, that we are saved, that we know that whatever happens, death come, you know, I'm going to stand before the Lord, and I'm going to just tell the Lord, hey, I just trusted in your blood. I trusted in what you did for me. I didn't trust because I was a missionary, because I preached, or anything else, because your word showed me that. Well, I don't think I have to even tell them that, but, you know, that's it. But you know what? In order to endure, we need to look for men that's going to take our place. If not, we're going to wear out. I think that's been a kind of part of the theme of this conference, you know. And maybe that's what's happening right now. There's some wearing away. There's some that aren't enduring. Maybe that's why the crowds have dwindled. I don't know. Maybe I have been here long enough to judge the matter. Probably not. But y'all know. So, brethren, keep those thoughts in mind, and let's not Let's not give up, and let's use God's word and apply it in our lives. And it works. It works. And God is faithful to provide. Praise the Lord. Amen.